Hi, this is Heaton Cha.
And this is Stelly Efti.
And today on the Startup Chat, we're going to talk about postmortem.
I think we like talking about more than just sales and marketing.
We just want to bullshit and chat about business and life. And hopefully while we're doing that, provide a lot of value to people.
The world's best business podcast.
Oh, shit. We got it.
For people trying to get shit done.
Yeah. We don't want to give you feedback that's bullshit.
Yeah, we want you to do your best.
Yes. So first of all, why do we want to talk about it? Maybe setting the stage, you're, you know, not here giving me a real life hug. I had to be okay with a virtual hug.
Yeah.
And you're not at your house or at somebody, and well, somebody else's office, you're with your business partner.
I'm with my business partner, Marie, and I'm actually at her place. And I asked her what our topic should be today that I can bring to the table. And her idea was postmortems. And one of the reasons is last night she actually wrote a massive 5-page postmortem of something that, of basically a startup we both really got excited about, like, and are probably still, well, were excited about until yesterday. And this was a startup we met maybe a month ago, and we had a bunch of interactions with them. And she just ripped, like, out of nowhere, she just railed on and wrote this, like, 5-page postmortem on the whole experience, including a whole bunch of lessons learned. And honestly, I've never seen anything like it, but that's why I guess I'm partnered with her. And it was, you know, it was after like 2 weeks of no interaction with the company. So there's a lot of time, which actually taught me something, because usually I like to do postmortems right after the fact, because I'm used to ones where, you know, there's a crisis and you're trying to figure out why it happened and to prevent it in the future. This was a little bit of a different thing that I'm not necessarily used to, of like waiting and then doing a postmortem. But she did one that, like, I've never seen a postmortem like this before. It was 5 pages long, super structured, and at the end we had all these lessons about actually how we want to invest, and actually a bunch of values and a bunch of action items came out of it on how to actually do a better job of intaking sort of startups and making decisions around investing, advising, or helping them out in some way.
Beautiful. All right. So we'll come back to this, but we'll have to take a step back and even explain the concept. What is a postmortem for people that have never heard of this or have never used it? I think it's somewhat well known, but I don't think everybody that listens to us knows immediately what we're talking about. So what is a postmortem itself?
I would say the shortest explanation of it is it's a postmortem can be described as a review of what happened.
Yeah.
And what you can take away from it, if I want to add more,
yes,
to make it about action. You know, we like action.
Yes. So a review of what happened and kind of what we learned from it and what kind of action we're going to take as a result of it. Usually in the context of something happened that wasn't good. Like, usually postmortem is not the way that you would make a review, or a lot of times I would say commonly people wouldn't write a postmortem or use those words when something good happened, something really, a really massive success. Nobody would probably, or most people wouldn't use the word, we've written up a postmortem after this massive success. Usually it's in the context of something didn't go the way we wanted it to go, right?
I agree. I think people should be doing it for happy stuff too, and you'd probably find negatives in it or things that you could improve. And basically, you know, we're always about constant improvement, like just collectively, many of us, including, you know, one of the reasons this whole podcast exists, right? If you're not trying to improve yourself, please don't listen to these podcasts. If you're trying to improve yourself, then please listen to these podcasts. They're definitely going to help you improve yourself and your business. And so I think postmortems are valuable in the scenario where you're looking to accomplish stuff and you're looking for improvements and ways that you can improve and constantly willing to work on it. And it's not, I don't know, constant improvement, constant iteration is not something I would say is very natural, but postmortems can help you take it to a place where it feels very objective, unbiased, and takes emotion out of it. So there's a lot of reasons you would do a postmortem. And I agree with you that most of the time it's done when you have a negative experience or something went wrong, not necessarily when something went great. But doing them in all these scenarios can be really useful.
Yes, absolutely. And one important component of this is that you most likely want to do it in written format, right? If you're not doing it, it's better to have like a postmortem discussion in your team and talk about something and review something and talk about next steps. It's better to do it verbally than not to do it at all. But There is a lot of value in taking the time to write it out.
If you don't write it out, I mean, I'm pretty convinced these days that if you're not, especially when you're working with other people, which postmortems are usually when you're working with other people to some extent, in the business terminology and commonly, that's how it's done and why it's done. If you're not writing it down, you're actually not learning anything because essentially you talk about it and it goes into the ether, meaning it never happened. I mean, if you think about it, anything you talk about in a conversation never really happened if it's not documented. And what I mean by that is you can't take the maximum learnings away from it if you haven't, you know, actually taken it from a conversation and written it down, or an experience and written it down. It's like why, you know, in life they recommend journaling. If you think about journaling and doing it on a daily basis or a weekly basis, that's an effect. That's part of basically a postmortem, except journaling is considered a personal thing. Usually.
Yeah. There's a lot in the power of writing things down, right? It kind of forces you to think things clearly through in a way that just talking about it a lot of times don't.
I feel like we're going to do an episode on that very soon. Maybe the next thing, just because when you were saying the writing it down, I was like, oh shit. Okay.
Yeah.
That's like a rabbit hole in itself. That's probably really great to rant on. That's going to really be helpful to people, but also I'll learn a lot, I think, when we talk about that.
Same here. So we'll pause the button on the writing part and the power of that for the next episode. Postmortem, the power, like the reason why we are talking about them now is a little bit of like, what is it, and when do you use it? But then, like, why is it such a powerful tool, right? And how to do it? I mean, we like our company, honestly, as we're talking about this, I'm getting more and more excited because we do, we have a process of writing postmortems, but it's usually, not usually, it's exclusively at this point a product team thing where the product team has this process where when things, you know, if something doesn't go well or if there's something big that's happening, we have a very disciplined process of writing out detailed postmortems of what happened and why did it happen, what do we learn from it, right? And documenting that really clearly.
I want to double click on that real quick, because if you talk to even a decent engineer, they've at least either done postmortems themselves or been involved in them. And the reason for that is when engineering breaks down, usually like a website goes down, your app goes down, something impacts your customers, and you know you want to be able to make sure that never happens again or mitigate it next time. And that actually reminds me of a lot of like Lean Startup and the Toyota way, where when they do a postmortem of something that went wrong, they would do the five whys exercise. And I think we've talked about it in different episodes. I don't think we have an episode on it or anything. And we probably don't need to. There's a lot of content about this. There's a Wikipedia article about it too. But five whys is basically when something goes wrong, ask five whys. So, you know, if like, you know, in the scenario of missing that investment, we would ask, well, why'd we get so excited about the investment when we shouldn't have been, right? Well, you know, there's another why underneath that, right? Like, why did we even bother to meet with them, you know? And then you could go down that. And what you're really trying to do is find the root cause of the problem. And that's what the five whys does, which is a really effective tool in postmortems, especially in the engineering context. So I wanted to double click on it because I definitely learned the power of this much more when I really started working with engineering teams and you know, learning all about that. Because I'm not an engineer, didn't grow up with it, and it's something that was much nearer to me many years ago. And it's a key tool that great engineering teams use.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's multiple layers of value that is created through this, right? So writing out a postmortem when something significant happens on the engineering side is an important enforcer for the person that was probably most responsible for it to think through, just like you said, using the five whys and really analytically looking at what happened and looking at all the causes, root causes for this, and then coming up with a explanation on what did we do to reverse it, but and what can we do more importantly to make sure this doesn't happen again or this happens differently in the future? What are the action items? It's important for the individual, even if they just wrote it out for themselves. But then on another layer, it's important for them to share with the team that's most responsible or touches this area, because it's an educational tool, right? It's both transparency, like we're standing up when we do something wrong, and we take ownership of it, but also here's for everybody in the team to know what happened, how to prevent it, and even an educational tool for people on the engineering team or for future people that join when something similar happens. There's kind of a database of, you know, what were past mistakes and how do we prevent them or how do we react to them. So that's one. This is the second layer. But then there's the third layer, which is within the entire company. If you publish the postmortem, there's many teams that are, you know, they just see something went wrong with a product, and now the engineering team has fixed it, let's say, as a big event. But people in marketing and support and success and in sales and PR in HR, they don't know what happened and why. And that leaves a certain level of uncertainty that is not healthy. So you a postmortem, if you publish it within the team of the company, allows everybody in the company, again, to have transparency for people in different departments to learn exactly what happened, kind of have either more empathy for it or more confidence that that's not going to happen again. And even more, one more layer above that, if you publish it to your customers or to the world at large, when things go wrong and customers are affected by that, they're able to go to a place and see that the team has taken time to analyze the situation. There's transparency of disclosing exactly what happened and exactly what's going to happen to prevent this from the future. So there's many, many layers of value that can be created through going through the process of writing a postmortem.
It also either shows or helps you practice self-awareness. And that's probably one of the things that I see a lot of organizations, let's not even get into humans, but a lot of organizations missing out on, because you can tell when they're not self-aware. And ironically, the postmortem that we wrote, Marie wrote, I didn't write it, was very much so putting in light that this startup actually didn't have much self-awareness. And I know that's pretty meta, but when you write a postmortem, you start realizing, like, you know, exactly what you could have done differently, exactly where your sort of weaknesses are, you know, if you want to go into that territory, or where you missed a lot. Like we had, like in this specific case, we hadn't done enough diligence on the company, but we both kept being excited about it. And what Marie did in the process of writing the postmortem is she realized we actually didn't look at any of the reviews of the company, like the product of the company. And, you know, she actually looked at all those reviews, and then it was just blatantly clear about the fact that even the company is not self-aware, and that we should, you know, we should have done that first. So that's like a line item now in our action items, which is like, duh, go do some research and look at the reviews. And again, that's like a silly mistake, you know, for somebody who's looking at helping out a company, but it's something that even the stupid things that you normally might do, but haven't had written down or haven't created a process for it, immediately come to light. And this is why on engineering teams, it's really useful. On product teams, like if you ship a feature and it's broken, it's really useful. Or if it doesn't hit the mark, it's really useful. In marketing, if you know, this happens a lot, you mistakenly, it shouldn't happen, but it happens a lot where you mistakenly CC everyone instead of BCC everyone, right? How many times does that happen, right? I want to know how many of those companies did postmortems, you know, because I've seen companies do it over and over again. And I'm like, wait, hold on. Like you did it once. It's a really bad thing to do because now everyone knows everyone that's involved, you know, that's a customer or whatever it is. And so I think you can even tell when a company is doing them and when they're not.
Yeah. So self-awareness is a big recurring theme in our conversations. I think it's one of the first things we both use to judge other people on, like to calibrate, like how self-aware does this person seem? And I think speaking personally, somebody can have incredible flaws or be incredibly difficult to deal with. If the level of if self-awareness level is really high, there's almost nothing that I won't that I won't be able to deal with if I feel like I have a self-aware human being in front of me. Versus it's very difficult to deal with people, even with very tiny mistakes, if they're completely oblivious to them and lacking all kinds of self-awareness. And we talked about self-awareness on a personal level a lot because this is an important topic, but also I know for you, you look at teams and evaluate startups a lot of time just purely through the criteria of how self-aware is this company. And we have an episode, it's episode 65, on how to become more self-aware, where we talk about this for 25 minutes in detail on why that's such a powerful thing.
Yeah, I really value a team that's self-aware. And it's not just about an individual, it's about the whole team. And I think we definitely drilled right into it. But on a high level, it's just like when they fuck up, right? Or if they're fucking up, do they know it? And are they fixing it? Or do they fix it, right? And my classic example is, I'm going to pick on my friend Dharmesh and Brian from HubSpot. Those two founders are some of the most self-aware founders I've ever experienced and met, even before I knew them really well, because they used to, I mean, they had their product sucked. Everyone knew it. And it was just a sales and marketing, you know, most of the growth came from sales and marketing. And then, you know, it wasn't like one day they woke up and said, our product sucks, we need to fix it. I know they made a lot of attempts at it. And then they ended up buying a whole company, another friend's company, David Cancel's company, and made him the chief product officer. And he's put this out there, but he revamped the whole product and engineering team. And now if you look at HubSpot's product, it's definitely a lot better. In fact, it's top of its class at this point. And that wouldn't have happened without having this awareness that you suck at something and actually going and maniacally going and fixing it. And the reason for that is, you know, the statement I would say about this is, and it's really related to postmortems in a big way, but it's like, what got you here won't get you there. So basically, whatever you did to get to where you are today isn't necessarily what you're going to need to do to get to the next place or the next level of growth or the next, hit your next goal that you have. And postmortems can help you understand what it's going to take and what you were missing.
All right, so let's talk, let's give some practical and tactical tips for people and teams that have not used postmortems before. I think that we've made a pretty good case for why they're a powerful tool and how to do them. But yep. I also could sense that some or many people that are listening to us that haven't done them before will feel slightly overwhelmed. Am I supposed to do a postmortem on everything that's happening every day, all the time? It seems like a lot. So how does somebody or a team that hasn't done them before, how do they start doing them and using them?
Yeah, so baby steps, obviously. Let me just riff on a bunch of examples, and then I'm sure you've got a bunch too. So one would be you only get good at what you practice, right? So, you know, Marie and I would, when we're at our best, we're doing notes and postmortems even after every meeting. And we're even doing them weekly. Personally, even over the last, you know, probably like 5 to 10 years now, in many of my meetings, right after the meeting, and I think I've said this tip before, I'll spend my walk back or 5 minutes in the car if it's, you know, after a meeting, just reviewing the meeting and writing it down about what happened and what I could have done better. Because really the postmortem, the purpose of it isn't to just document what happened. It's actually to figure out how you can do better on the next one or the next time this happens or just in general get better at this kind of behavior, whether it's for me, it was just meeting with founders and business people and trying to help them out. And so I got better at those meetings by doing these postmortems. Like I realized where I could have been more helpful. I realized where I was, you know, too emotional about something I shouldn't have been, or I realized where I was not thinking about them, but I was thinking about myself or something else, and that was bad, right? So by doing these and then reviewing them, I was actually able to make myself better at giving people advice and helping other people out, which I really valued. So finding ways to practice it, even in your personal life, might be useful. I've suggested to friends in the past that they review every date they go on, like a personal review. You know, did I like this person? Did I not like this person? Why not? You know, and the funny thing is people do this in their heads all the time. Even like in a company, like if something went wrong, you're like thinking, oh, was it my fault? Was it someone else's fault? Like, I mean, again, blame shouldn't be, you know, pointed, but that is what we all naturally do as humans. So I would say that you're already doing postmortems. You're just not writing them down.
Yeah. And because you're not writing them down, you're probably missing, and this is going to be my add on this, you're probably going to be missing one of the most powerful components of them, which is thinking them through to a logical conclusion or next step or learning. I find that a lot of times, yes, you know, you walk out of a meeting and you're kind of mulling over that meeting for a while, but because you're not writing it down, because that thinking it through can be because it's just in your head, it can be interrupted at any time and you never go back to thinking it all the way through. It might be that you're getting to a roadblock. You're getting to some part of kind of summarizing what happened that's difficult or that leaves you at some kind of inner conflict. You go, maybe it should be this, maybe it should be that. And because it's difficult, your mind likes to just be distracted and goes to the next thing. Oh, I have a meeting next hour. What do I eat for lunch? Or I need to call my friend. And then you never go back to revisit. And it's very easy to kind of keep making the same mistakes or not getting the maximum ROI and value out of the experience, out of the time that you've spent with something because you didn't take those extra few minutes in a very disciplined fashion to write it down. Because when you write it down, it's so in your face that you stopped in the middle, right? The sentence is not finished. Like you can see it. It's very obvious this is not done yet versus when you just think about things and mull over them, you know, you don't have a good sense for did I think this through or not. You get distracted, you forget about it, and then a few months down the line, you do the same thing. And the feeling people have is the feeling then of frustration. Why is this happening all the time? Why is this never getting better? Why is this team always making this mistake? And that frustration usually is also a good signal for, well, obviously, you're involved in something where we're repeating mistakes and we're not fixing them. Why is that? Probably because there's no post-mortem process. There's nobody wrote it down. Nobody took real action steps. There were some discussions, maybe some people thought about it, but you were lacking that crucial component to actually make change happen.
Yeah, totally agree. I mean, that's like, yeah, you basically define the purpose of it and like how someone should think about basically incorporating it in. I mean, it's like, if you want to improve, there's no way you can unless you're writing this stuff down and actually doing it and finding all the opportunities for you to do it.
Yeah. And let's finish on this. Your partner seems to be, I mean, she's probably just a black belt post-mortem, you know, ninja master or something. She's been doing this for a long time, probably. And you guys are really good at that. For people that hear that haven't done this a lot of times, I don't think people should have the pressure of writing up five page long postmortems after things. So what is a simpler format for people to get into the rhythm of it?
Yeah, like I said, 5 minutes after a meeting, you know? And so what I'm more used to is doing immediate postmortems. What she is teaching me and also very great at is doing postmortems after a synthesis. So if it's been a while, but it's just something still hanging or something where you know you need to improve, they're probably going to be longer because then you've thought about it and you know you've had space and time between the thing to do it. So in that case, you might want to write a longer one. So for example, you know, if you know it's been a systemic thing in your company that you always have a problem with and you haven't been writing postmortems each time, it might be valuable to sit down and say, okay, well, we suck at sales. We keep losing deals, you know, or they don't progress to this, you know, very specific step to a close or whatever. Let's write a postmortem on, you know, just that experience in general. Like, why are we losing deals, right? And let's write a postmortem on all the deals we've lost. And that would be longer. And you'd probably have someone who's a sales leader help facilitate and do that. But if you want to improve sales and get past that hump, then you're going to have to do it like that. And it's probably going to be a lot longer. Now, if you're, you know, just getting started, I don't think it's about length. I think it's more about need. So you should figure out, where do you need this? Where is it that you actually suck or you want to get better? And do it on that. And don't worry so much about how long or short it is. Focus on writing down what happened in enough detail and also what you can do about it. And then go socialize it with other people on the team once you've created a little bit of a draft there. And other people might have things to add or not at all, depending on kind of what their opinion is of that postmortem you wrote.
Awesome. That's it from us.
Cool. Bye.